Our sermon for this morning is an extremely solemn one. It is entitled The Mark of the Beast, or The Evidence of Transgenderism, Homosexuality, Same-Sex Marriage. Last Sunday was a day of devilish infamy, as it was another day 7 years earlier, where Satan was spreading great and utter disaster across Christendom for the 32nd time in Christian history. If we do not repent, we will suffer that same consequence. Yes, are you mourning what President Biden has proclaimed last Sunday on Easter, basically replacing Easter with transgender, homosexual, same-sex marriage, Visibility Day instead of Easter? Oh, what a awful, devilish thing that has transpired. Have you been mourning for God's honor and for his glory, for his precious name in this week? Yes, it was in May of 2015, over 7 years ago, that the Lord woke me up out of a deep sleep at 3 a.m. in the morning. And his thundering voice in my soul sat me up in bed as I listened to him in great fear. As there in that night, he revealed something of what a terrible night of error that Christendom was descending into more than in the previous generation, that this is the flood of evil, days of infamy in this wicked and perverse generation. Yes, shortly thereafter, the Supreme Court decreed that these sins were actually the law of the land, supposedly equal to other laws, but in reality superior to all laws. There he also revealed to me the far greater night coming of even greater Christian apostasy that is going to descend upon Christendom in the future months and years. Unless we repent, we shall surely perish as Christendom. Yes, there he revealed that Christendom's willful sin of forsaking God's word and apostatizing from his law and gospel was bringing a spiritual midnight into all his church, into Christendom, a night so deep that it would soon extinguish all of the spiritual light that was left in counterfeit Christendom. Oh, what a horror, what a midnight for Christendom to be without Christ, the true Christ, the scriptural Christ. Yes, 31 times before in history, God has said, do not even pray anymore for these corrupt Christians, for corrupt Christendom anymore. I will not hear their prayers. To this hour, God has not said this about this in the 32nd time. But the time is urgent. The thunder clouds of judgment hang so low. Yes, after that night, I sat down in May of 2015 and spent 90 straight days writing 2 books about this apostasy that was coming into Christendom through the Supreme Court's rulings that decreed transgenderism, homosexuality, same-sex marriage were the law of the land. Trying to write of how this was going to destroy Christendom and how for 7 years it has indeed done that. Leading to last Sunday, where the next great, great evil transpired, where the President of the United States has decreed something so anti-Bible, so anti-Christian, so anti-humanity, it is beyond words. Though I wrote 2 books, how very, very few believe my thundering admonitions, and that I preached, and they rejected my books from being published. But now, 7 years later, before the president spoke this latest blasphemy Sunday, the Lord again awakened me at the night of 3:00. And he showed me some of the greater horror that is coming, that is obvious reality today. I did not know yet what absolute blasphemy would come from the government's mouth, changing Easter into transgender, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, Visibility Day, Deviant Behavior Day, Anti-Christian Day. Yes, I have been crying, mourning all week, discouraged with the lack of the outrage of establishment Christendom that should transpire from this measure. Oh, pigs, when they are about to be slaughtered, put up a terrible fight. But the deepening silence of Christendom even today is beyond words. Oh, have you been mourning? Have you been mourning for the dishonor done to the Lord's name? Have you been mourning for the assault against his precious name? Have all of us in Christendom been crying, mourning, repenting all week? Because without a doubt, last week's Sunday is the death knell of Christendom unless we repent. Yes, a second day of evil infamy, where Satan has loosed his dreadful forces upon all of Christendom, and we are in an existential crisis not seen since the beginning of the world. Yes, the judgment clouds hang so low upon us. The judgments that God has sent us have, unfortunately, just been shrugged off. Think, for example, just 4 years ago when COVID God sent COVID upon the whole world and brought all 197 countries in the world to their knees in fear of a little virus, invisible virus. Yes, God sent COVID and all these other judgments to call us once again to repentance. Oh, never, never imagine differently, but that God is speaking loudly, clearly, thundering judgment, thundering turn, turn, turn. Return to me. Yet despite all of these overwhelming judgments that God has sent into the world in this wicked and perverse generation, where we have killed more human beings than at any other generation or any other time in the world. No, we are no different today than the worst idolaters, the worst sinners in the world. Yes, we are far worse, for judgment comes to the house of Israel first. God's judgment begins in his house because sinning as a Christian is zillions of times worse than sinning as a heathen. Yes, you and I are dead in sins and trespasses by nature, and we will never hear God's word. We will never respond to God's word unless we are born again by the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what does the Bible tell us will be the result of man experiencing so many obvious judgments? Oh, we read of it in the last days of the last days, for we can read in Revelations what is the sad, sad, tragic result of God's judgments raining down upon human nature, especially in the last days of the last days. Yes, only look around at Christendom today, so utterly ruined, so sunken into darkness, so apostatized from God's word, so plagued with the judgment of Amos's plague, the judgment of the lack of the preaching of the full word of God for the last generation, which is the key characteristic of the apostasy of this very generation. And now you don't have to take my word for it. Just look around. Dr. Barna and thousands of Christian researchers have carefully researched and systematically documented in black and white the overwhelming decline of Christendom in this generation in spiritual inerrancy and in obedience to Scripture. Yes, 100 years ago, the belief in the inerrancy of God's word was at 99%. Very, very few dared to not believe it. But today, because of our sins among the millennial Christians, research shows that the belief in the inerrancy of Scripture amongst the millennials is at 1%, 100% to 1%. Oh, is this not the great falling away? If it is not, what more could it be? Oh, we may fear this overwhelming evidence is a complete falling away from God in one generation. Yes, as we said, the great falling away prophesied in Scripture in the perilous times of the last days of the last days. Those perilous times prophesied in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. They are here. They are here right now. They are here in this generation today. as evidenced by last Sunday's public proclamation without shame, without remorse, and unfortunately without repentance in Christendom. We have sinned against God. We have deserved these judgments. We have richly earned them. Do you feel it? Do you feel it? Yes, the Bible is being played out before our very eyes today in all of its judgments. And Jesus says, only those who endure to the end shall be saved. And he gives that clear litmus test of obedience, which says, those who love me obey my commandments. Yes, Jesus says they obey my commandments without question, without conditions, without caveats, without exceptions, or without secretly loving my favorite sin. Oh, just read Revelation 16, verse 9, and examine honestly if it does not apply to our day today. Oh, listen carefully. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which has power over all these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. Oh, does that not describe you and me? Does that not describe establishment counterfeit Christianity today? Oh, do you hear how unfathomably corrupt that false Christendom will become shortly before the last day of the last days? Yes, we read many times in Scripture, the church will be fast asleep. Not my words, God's word. Today, we want to begin a series and explore the eschatological writings of the seven specific human authors that God has used under the authorship of the Holy Spirit to write in Scripture. What shall be the signs seen in the last generation just before the last day? Oh, yes, again, we must so emphasize, no one may or can prophesy or predict when the last day will be, for it is known only unto the Father. However, Jesus specifically tells us in Luke 21, verse 32, in Mark 13, verse 30, in Matthew 24, verse 34, to watch for that wicked generation in which all these signs appear, in which the last days shall come before that generation shall end. That's a promise of God that shall be fulfilled. Yes, Jesus says, watch for that generation which shall be wicked beyond any imagination. Oh, look at our generation. We may fear going from 100% believing in inerrancy to 1% in one generation. If that is not the falling away, what would the falling away be? Oh, look around at the utter ruins of Christendom today, where they are one with the world, a dead Christendom that over 50% already have adopted abominable sin as the new holiness. And soon shall, unless the Lord prevent, grow to 99%, blaming the errors that were so promoted last Sunday, the sins so abominable, they are condemned 30 times in Scripture. Oh, horror of horrors. The question comes to you and me today. What book will you obey? What book will you obey? The Word of God or the Word of Man? Those are our two choices. And unfortunately, look around. Even Christendom today prefers to believe the Word of Man instead of the Word of God. Yes, in reality, what the United States president, the leader of the whole world, has done Sunday is to decree that the seventh commandment is null and void. It is unenforceable under those conditions, and they are saying it must be eliminated from the Ten Commandments. Oh, what horror! We have already eliminated the fourth commandment by and large in this generation. God gave his Ten Commandments as the moral law to be obeyed. David said, "Oh, how love I thy law, the moral law." Not that he could obey it, for he certainly didn't, nor do we. But striving in the blood to obey it is the essence of Christendom. Oh, what an abomination that took place Sunday that should have all Christendom mourning and pleading for God's at God's mercy throne for mercy. For we are also guilty as a covenant nation under what our leaders decree. And these abominations, which especially began as the floodgates were opened 7 years ago, might be canceled, reversed, and that repentance may flood over Christendom today. It is so desperately needed. The king of Nineveh recognized God's voice in Jonah's words, and he desperately led his whole nation into repentance, so different than our leader last Sunday. Oh, ask yourself, why are we in Christendom so blind, so deep, so stubborn, so hard-hearted, so unbelieving today? But because of the plague of Amos, because we have sinned against a good-doing and a righteous God. O Lord, today make us guilty. Today bring repentance across the land. Oh, the only possible answer why we in Christendom have allowed these atrocities to happen is because Christianity has been lulled to sleep. Yes, that's in the Bible, not my words. Yes, what other explanation can there be? While 29 of God's clear doctrines which he has given to Christianity are routinely, openly, obviously abused. Yes, these clear and obvious errors we have preached on inerrancy of Scripture include this abomination of abominations. What is the subject of our sermon of this morning? They are, we may fear, and we scarcely dare to say it, but we must. The mark of the beast, the abomination of desolation, written of in Daniel that shall come in the last days, which is mushrooming within Christendom today. While Christendom, Christians, are fast asleep, yes, asleep in the midst of all this destruction of Christianity. Yes, as we said already, over 50% of Christendom today has already compromised themselves with these abominable sins. And we have every reason to fear the direction that we are going, the speed we are traveling, unless the Lord prevent that it shall soon reach 99 to 100% sleeping. Yes, the Bible tells us that the elect themselves will be sleeping. Why do we doubt what the Bible says? Yes, there is a reason why Scripture tells us that both the foolish and the wise virgins are fast asleep, both asleep. God's word, which cannot lie. Yes, it is because it is true, obvious, and blasphemous. Oh, pray, let us pray today that the remnant morning beatitude Christians of today, for God still has his small remnant church today, the 7,000 who will not bow to Baal. Yes, the 5 wise virgins who are sleeping too. Oh, that God's voice may be heard and they might be awakened by the footsteps of the bridegroom at the door, that they may awake and they may leap up, find their lamps again, light the fragment of faith that is still to be found in them, which has been planted by God, but so covered over with sin. Oh, pray that these 5 wise virgins may have ears to hear, may have hearts to discern, may have eyes to see, and leap up out of their sleep and enter in to heaven's door, to go in to meet the bridegroom and there to live forever in eternal bliss with God, the Triune One. Yes, that is our hope and our prayer for each one of us today. Hear the word of God, for it is a dreadful message that comes to us today, if indeed this is the mark of the beast. Yes, God illustrates this sad fact and all this so clearly, as we said in the parable of the 10 virgins, where we say again, all slept, both the foolish and the wise. Oh, do you hear it? It is written of so clearly in the Bible. All slept. And what else can explain the lack of mourning in this week, in the last 7 years, in this last generation? Yes, God says, unless he had shortened the days, they would also have perished if it were possible. Oh, I believe that parable so accurately describes this wicked and perverse generation that we are in today, if we are honest. Clearly in this wicked and perverse generation, we are apostatizing from for the 32nd time in history. No, it's not something new. It is monotonously routine Christianity apostatizing from God. What makes us think we are somehow different? Yes, we are being destroyed by God today. for our corrupt forsaking of his word, for our open sin. That is the reason why God laments so greatly at the bitter reality which he will find when he comes again. Oh, remember, Jesus also specifically compares the great flood of Noah, compares it to his second coming on the clouds in the last day. And why that comparison? Well, at the great flood, there were but 8 that he saved. And no one dares to put a number upon the wise virgins who are sleeping that God awakes and they may have faith in their lamps to come again into the door of heaven to the bridegroom. No one is putting that number on it. It is Jesus that is comparing it. For here he laments so grievously, weeping, he says, when I, Jesus, come again, shall I even find faith? God's word, not my word. Yes, clearly Jesus means that the great falling away will have so smothered Christendom that all of Christendom will be lulled to sleep, both the foolish and the wise. Oh, let us wake up, wake up, wake up. Oh, yes, just like the previous 31 times, there will be lots of churches, lots of Christianity, lots of preaching, lots of singing, lots of praise. But the power of Jesus Christ and spiritual obedience in the way of the Beatitudes will be missing. Look around honestly. So much praise with the lips. Yes, Jesus laments so often that Christians praise him with their mouths, sing of him with their tongues, but their hearts are far from him. Oh, that describes Christendom today in a nutshell. Oh, come, come, let us bow in the dust and pray to be led in the Spirit and to hear God's voice today for the first time or by renewal. Oh, come, let us take the shoes from off our feet as we attempt to speak today in this beginning of the series of the unspeakable holiness that we see in eschatology, the events of the last days of the last days. Oh, hear God's word today out of Mark 13. Mark 13, as he, Jesus, went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answered unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, what shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answered their serious questions and began to say, "Take heed lest any man deceive you." And to verse 10, "The gospel must first be preached and published among all nations." And verse 13, "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, the mark of the beast, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains." Down to verse 30. "Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done." Yes, in this morning's sermon, as a part, first part of our series on eschatology, we will try to cover something of the theme of eschatology, the events that Scripture tells us will most certainly take place in the last days of the last days, shortly before Jesus appears on the clouds. Oh, there are so many errors, so much preaching on the last days. Even in a couple days where they read the sun and the moon shall be darkened, where there will be an eclipse that travels across America. Oh, it certainly has its warning, its meaning, but it is not the end of the earth. No, God certainly uses physical things such as this eclipse, but it does not supersede or exceed over God's word, which tells us, when you see the abomination of desolation, the mark of the beast, written of in Daniel 11 and Mark 13, flee to the mountains, which means flee to Jesus Christ. Leave such a church that embraces and endorses and compromises themselves with these great errors. Yes, in our first point, the complex eschatology, and we will only have time for one point, the description and the earnest warning of Jesus in Daniel 11 and Mark 13. Yes, certainly, all of Scripture is God's word, every one of the 775,000 words. But especially in these chapters, Jesus especially is telling his apostles and us that he is going to go away for a long time, but that he will return again. And he says what his Church of Christendom could expect to happen during that time that he is absent. Yes, in these chapters, Jesus is telling us about two different events that shall take place in the future concerning himself, concerning eschatology, the approaching of the end. Yes, naturally, the apostles are deeply interested, and they focus their attention and ask Jesus about these two different events that Jesus is talking about by asking two different, distinct questions. Let's look at the first question first. It is immediate and it is urgent. Jesus has just told them that at some time in the near future, before that generation passed, every stone on the temple, the second temple, which they so admired, will be destroyed, and not one stone will be left upon another stone. Now, naturally, the alarmed apostles' first question is, our beautiful building will be destroyed? When, Lord, when will this be? When will our beautiful temple be destroyed? Jesus has told them before this generation passes, and in AD 70, within 40 years, the temple is indeed destroyed. But now their second question, it is even more urgent, more desperate, and it goes deeper, and it concerns Jesus' statement that he himself is going to be going away for a long time. Yes, the apostles and all God's children love Jesus, love the Trinity that he has revealed. And while the temple's utter destruction alarmed them greatly, they are far, far, far more concerned in their second question, in as to when they will see Jesus come again. Yes, these urgent two questions are the center of eschatology. First, what will be the sign when all these things shall happen? Oh, they knew that Jesus promised that he would give them a sign, for he will always warn his church, the remnant church that is left. What sign would Jesus give for these two events? Oh, they wanted to know. They wanted to know what to preach to Christendom while Jesus was gone. What signs to look for? And Jesus gives them 57 signs in that chapter. Jesus tells them the first of these two great events, the destruction of the temple, will take place before the generation in which they are living ends. And as we said, in AD 70 came Titus and destroyed the temple. Not one stone was left upon another. Yes, most of his apostles would be alive and would see this fulfilled. They would see the second temple destroyed with their own eyes. But the second event Jesus prophesied of will be far, far into the distant future, an unknown time, where a small remnant Christian church will still exist. And they, the wise virgins, will hear the word of God alone. Oh, are you listening in this wicked and perverse generation that has fallen so deeply away from God? Do you have ears to hear? Oh, wake up, wake up, wake up, light your lamps again. That faith that God has planted deep within you, so covered over, so buried under your and my sin. Oh, listen how emphatically Jesus warns us to have ears. Let him that readeth understand. Yes, Jesus is reiterating, let him that readeth understand. not follow popular theology, which creates all kinds of counterfeit theories of the last days. Yes, Christians who have ears to hear, let him hear today. Oh, that grand question in this trying time, then, as we look at the subject of eschatology in a series over the next weeks, if the Lord spares us, and if we are well, of a persecution that shall come as never, never seen before. Oh, so many people think it is a persecution of the sword, but instead it has been the persecution of sleep, the persecution of prosperity, for when Jezreel waxed fat, it kicked. Oh, we have everything, and in reality, we have nothing because we have lost spirituality in this generation that is the richest generation, the most prosperous, the most knowledgeable, the most inventions ever. We lost spirituality. Oh, then that question comes to each of us, to you and me. Will we follow God's word today, or follow man's word, that of the Supreme Court, that of what our president so loudly proclaimed last Sunday on Easter, replacing the holy day of Easter with transgender homosexuality, same-sex awareness day. Oh, there can be no words for it. How we should be weeping in the dust at Jesus' feet for the blasphemy against his name, done, no, not only by our president, but he is the leader of the free world. We are guilty under that same covenant proclamation as a country. Yes, you and I must suffer for that unless we reject man's word and follow only God's word. For these two, God's word, man's word, are radically different, as far as away from each other as east is from west. Yes, one is from God, the other is from Satan. And today that great choice stands before you and me. There is a line drawn in the sand that Joshua drew, and he said, those who are on the Lord's side, let them cross this line. Oh, which side do you stand on today? Do you choose to obey our president's proclamation of last Sunday? Or do you choose to stand with the word of God, which has rejected those abominations? Oh, we cannot be at a more serious time than today, where, as we said, the world is under great, great, great judgments. Oh, let us not be as we read in Revelations, that despite the great judgments coming upon us, men still rebelled, men still blasphemed the word of God. Oh, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And as we continue this series on eschatology of the events of the last day, Oh, may you and I be in constant prayer. Lord, teach me, give me ears to hear, that as I read, I may understand. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, awaken us sleeping Christians. Awaken us, that we may find that faith that thou hast planted in our hearts long ago, and that we may blow upon it, that thou might blow upon it with thy breath, and that we may wake up and enter in to heaven's gates. Oh, for the unwise virgins, meaning all those who do not know Jesus Christ, who are not covered with his blood. Oh, they did awaken, but they found no oil in their lamps. They found no faith that they had believed in. They found that what they had believed in was built on sandy ground. Oh, what side do you stand on today, obeying the word of God? Even if that means you must go to prison, and it certainly will mean that for many of us. Or will you rather choose to obey the word of man and live a comfortable life until the last day when judgment shall take place and you shall be cast into hell? Oh, do you hear it? There is two choices. Choose ye this day on which side of the line you will stand. Obey the word of God, not the word of man. Amen. Ha, 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 ha.